Well, if you've been listening in recent days, you know we have been tracking Lincoln, tracking the route of President Lincoln's funeral train 150 years ago from Washington, D.C. to Springfield, Illinois. Well, on this date in 1865, the president's funeral drew more than 100,000 visitors to the Springfield Oak Ridge Cemetery. And in the final installment of our series looking at Lincoln's impact on the lives of modern Americans and his legacy on race relations, Here and Now's Peter O'Dowd reports from Springfield, Illinois.
A freight train rolls past what's now an unremarkable spot in Springfield, but in the summer of 1908, this entire area was ablaze with a race riot. Curtis Mann from the city's Lincoln Library is giving me a walking tour of the neighborhood.
The street we're walking down right now in 1908 would have been an area that was known as sort of the red light district of Springfield.
Correct.
Where gambling and prostitution happened.
Yes, it was the levee district. And just off of the levee district was the residential area known as the Badlands. And as the rioters finished pillaging and burning the black-owned businesses in the levee district, then they moved towards the residential area that they knew where a large number of African-American families had lived.
The white rioters sought revenge against two black men accused of assaulting two white residents. The violence lasted 2 days and left seven people dead. At the time, Mattie Hale was a teenager living outside of town. She remembers black families fleeing the city as it burned.
Some went to the country with food and clothing in sacks on their backs.
This interview was recorded in 1974 as part of an oral history project produced at the University of Illinois Springfield. Hale told her interviewer that six families rode out the riots in her barn.
A lot of them went up there, stayed all night in the barn loft. Some slept out underneath our trees, our fruit trees, and we taken some in the house.
These riots shocked the country, and they were a catalyst behind the formation of the NAACP. They happened just 43 years after President Lincoln, the man who ended slavery in America, was buried in Springfield's Oak Ridge Cemetery. Curtis Mann says 1908 was a black eye on the city.
The fact that this race riot happened in Lincoln's hometown is ironic. That's not lost on anybody that knows their Lincoln history.
Lincoln's legacy and the race riots of 1908 are certainly not lost on Reverend Martin Wolfe.
Hello.
Hi.
I met Wolfe at his church, the Abraham Lincoln Unitarian Universalist Congregation.
I think we were dismayed to see just how physically segregated blacks and whites are.
Wolfe says that racial segregation in Springfield extends into modern times. So for the past year, members of his mostly white church have been getting together with members of a mostly black church to talk about race.
First of all, they was kind of afraid to let their feelings out because they're afraid to hurt somebody.
Reverend Silas Johnson runs the Calvary Missionary Baptist Church, the black congregation.
I brought up in Mississippi, and coming up in Mississippi, you knew one thing. If you didn't know anything else, that whites were on this side, you was on that side. You knew that they didn't like you, and you knew that you didn't like them, and you did not cross the barrier. They did not smile at you. You did not smile at them. It was just one of those known things.
These conversations among churches can get into complicated territory. But when I visited the group, they told me they started to learn from each other. For example, Stu Jacobson is white. He says hearing about the anxiety that black members and their families felt around police gave him new perspective. And he says he didn't understand why some young black men felt singled out because of the way they dress.
I had old daughters. It's not something that I ever contemplated worrying about, not with it, just them, but if I had friends who had a teenage male, that just, you know, how they dress, if they want to dress a little strange, that's not likely to get them in trouble. It's just mind-boggling that that's another thing you have to worry about.
I started in this group by accident. I was scared.
Lisa Marley is black and the group's youngest member. She says she learned something, too. With so much talk around the country about black men clashing with police, the group invited a police officer to talk to them.
And they gave us this, like, instruction card of how to be non-abrasive with the police and still hold yourself as respectable. You don't have to be the stereotype person where each black person that got out the car was going to be like, what you want my ID for and all this stuff.
Marley says she learned it's better to stay calm when confronted by police. And recently she says she did just that when a cop stopped her and her brother. Staying calm is something she might not have done before.
We were just citizens. We weren't black citizens, white citizens. We were citizens. And I got that from here.
What Marley and the rest of the group also got was the urge to do more than talk. Last month, they organized a march on the old state capitol. More than 100 people gathered. They rang bells to signify the work that still needs to be done in this country on the issue of race 150 years after the death of Abraham Lincoln. For Here and Now, I'm Peter O'Dowd in Springfield, Illinois.